Blog Talk Radio.
This is Sean Cook, and you're listening to the Higher Ed Life and Career Show on blogtalkradio.com.
Hello, everybody. This is Sean Cook. You're listening to the Higher Ed Career Coach Show on blogtalkradio.com. Again, my name is Sean Cook, and I'm a career coach from Athens, Georgia, and I'm the lead writer for higheredcareercoach.com and higheredlifecoach.com. We're going to be talking to you today about supporting innovation in higher education and specifically in student affairs. I'm really happy to say that today's guest, Jeff Jackson from breakthrough.com, is going to be joining us in our conversation about innovation, what it is, how to support it, and hopefully we'll be taking a lot of calls from you, our listeners, and getting your thoughts, your questions, and your comments about ways to support innovation, what innovation means to you, and how we can kind of move our conversations about innovation in our field forward and support those people that are doing that. And with that, I think I have Jeff on the line, and I'm going to be picking up so that hopefully he can join us, and we'll see how he's doing. Hey, Jeff, are you there?
I'm here, Sean. How's it going?
I'm great, great. So excited to have you here on the show today. Thanks for making time.
Yeah, glad to be here.
Great. So, spend a lot of time talking about ways, you know, I like to experiment, and I know that you do, and we're out here trying to do some new things in student affairs and put some kind of a new spin on how we do professional development, how we talk about careers and stuff like that. So I'd like to just hear a little bit for those who are uninitiated from you about who you are and what breakthrough.com is all about. Let's just start there.
Sure. And I guess a little background. I've been in higher ed for, I guess, 12 years now, maybe 13. I don't know. It's been a while. Starting as an academic advisor with grad students, undergrad students, and going into more student organizations, more leadership development stuff, and working my way to where now I'm the associate director for student life at San Antonio College. Somewhere in the last few years, I left the campus briefly to work for an education technology company called WorkThink. And even though I was already kind of into technology, the fact that I was working for a technology company let me experiment more and really open the door, let me learn a lot more. So that's when I really was able to, I mean, social media was part of my job, so that was, you know, 8 to 5, I got to kind of live that. So I got to really explore that more. And when I needed to leave WorkThink because of the family medical issues that my wife and I needed to take care of or to help with, I was kind of having to make the decision, do I want to continue along the technology road and kind of the social media marketing area, or do I want to go back into student affairs? And, you know, being a part of that, I think the SA Chat community really helped me make that decision. And but at the same time, it was, you know, I left my job at the end of September, and thinking about the higher education hiring cycle, I'm like, it can be almost a year before I'm have another job again, and I didn't want that gap. And so I started the blog at WorkThink and did all that kind of stuff. So I'm like, well, I'm going to do that again. I kind of thought through, how am I going to do it to be a little different? And so I started blogging, thinking that was going to be it. Like, that's what all that I did, and, you know, it's grown into a lot more than that over time.
Right. I can really relate to that story because, again, and you and I have talked about this before, but, you know, the student affairs chat community that kind of grew out of the collaborative blog over at SA Bloggers .org, I guess. Is it .org or .com?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
We both write for it occasionally. I guess I should know. So, that's just a great community, and very much encouraged me to explore my and return to my roots kind of as a writer, and got me a lot more excited about professional development and career issues. And, so I think it's been great for me, too. And certainly that's kind of how we kind of connected with each other, because we both got started with our blogs, you know, hardcore around the same time. So good community will do a lot for you, won't it?
Yeah, and I think, when did you launch your blog?
Well, it's almost a year for the first one. I'd have to go back and look. Higher Ed Life Coach was my first one. And then very shortly after that, I launched Higher Ed Career Coach. But it's been about a year for both of them. But it hasn't been, you know, while I was still at Penn State, I was kind of getting a feel for it and deciding whether I was really going to, you know, go crazy, quit my job, do all this stuff that I said I was going to do. So it took a couple months for me to finish going crazy. And I started kind of hardcore with it in January. Once I, you know, moved down here and settled in a little bit, and really more regularly posting material, that really started around March. So, you know, we're kind of both in similar cycles here, you know, still building our content, building our routine, I guess, but you're doing some interesting things, because you're about to just shake up. I mean, you're already starting to shake up your whole routine. So tell us a little bit about, you know, break, drink, kind of the original concept, and then some of this recent stuff where you're kind of shifting a little bit, where your focus is going to be.
Sure. You know, one thing I did, you know, with OrgSync and when I was in thinking about the blog, is I read a lot of other higher education blogs. And noticing that there's not a lot of talk, like everything student affairs related is secondary. You know, they focus more on the academics, and I think more so on the business side of things right now in higher education now. And I'm talking about the Chronicle and, you know, Inside Higher Ed, because of the way the economy is, those are the hot topics. And I, you know, it's like this, it's not a lot of talk about student affairs, and people are doing some really cool things, and being really innovative, and so I just wanted to be able to kind of aggregate people who were talking about student affairs and pull them together as one kind of thread of the blog. But also, I wanted to be able to do some original content, and so I had a lot of Google alerts set, and so if anyone typed Residence Life or student affairs or student activities, and I mean, I had about 10 different Google alerts set, and I would go to about 500, 600 things a day. I wouldn't necessarily read them all, but skim through them to see if there's anything worth highlighting. And so I would take that, which may be something like in the student newspaper in New Mexico, and write a little summary about it, and then link it to there to hopefully get, you know, a broader view of what's happening in student affairs. Well, quickly, one of the trends, because, you know, I still haven't changed the website. It still says, you know, trends and news and student affairs, the headline. One of the trends I quickly saw was on Twitter, were people talking about their professional development budgets. And so I asked the question one time on Twitter, who cannot go to a conference this year because your budget's been slashed? And I got a ton of responses that people aren't able to, and I think it can be stifling to the profession. And so I was talking with actually a previous guest, Eric Stoller, and I said, you know, do you think there's value in trying to do some type of online conference? He said it'd be great. So then this is probably November, December time. Around here, and so I started kind of thinking through this. Actually, it's after November, because I actually started in November, so I would say maybe even late December is when this conversation was. So after the new year, I sent messages to several software companies to say, hey, you know, this is the situation. Would you donate your services? The only person I heard back from was GoToWebinar, and they said, here's a 3-year subscription. And so thankful to GoToWebinar, and now, you know, forever when I have the option, we'll go to them to buy. And so, you know, we did an online conference, which you're able to present. And we had about 100 people register to participate in that. And then over time, around the same time as the conference, is when I got my full-time job. And, you know, I just don't have time. I don't have time to read 500 Google alerts a day or whatever it was. And so our blogging in April came. You know, Julie doesn't have time to write as much, and Gary's going through a job search, and so just the content level wasn't the same. And that's when I really started thinking through. Okay, what I don't want to keep. I don't want to have a mediocre site. I either need to find something to ramp it up or change. And that's when we changed to what we're doing now, or starting to do now. So we're making a commitment to doing 3 conferences a year, starting in the fall. We'll do a 2-day fall conference and a 2-day spring conference and a summer conference. It could grow more than that, but we're going to do 3 conferences. They may not always be free, but they'll be very affordable, like $10 or $5 or something like that. And then we want to do 10 podcasts over the course of a year that's more focused to different niches. A podcasting was something we started from the beginning, and it was just me and Gary, and it was just a generic student affairs higher ed podcast. We want to do like one specifically to, you know, Res Life, one specifically to maybe leadership programs, social justice programs. We started one already 3 weeks ago about technology in higher education and student affairs. And then we have a Res Life one and a Greek Life one that should launch this summer also. So those are all start this summer. And then I've talked to several people about other areas they're interested in and other areas they're considering launching. But so that's where we are now. So we're moving more from just a news website to a professional development site.
I think that's great, and it's neat to see kind of the evolution of the site kind of being pushed along by conversations you're having with people out there in the community. Because that's what I see you doing really well is engaging some of your network in helping you produce your content and put some new ideas out there. And I just think that's really neat, and you know, just like you know, when I got started here, you know, I've been talking for 4 or 5 years about how I'd like to be a life coach and a career coach, and just work with people in higher ed. And you know, part of it was I was just tired of some of the administrative parts of my job. I just wanted to do the things that made me happy. You know, the reasons right. I got into student life, helping people with their life and career. And when I got started, like, I felt kind of intimidated because I'm like, well, what the heck do I know about being a life or career coach? So I went and got my certificate, and I realized I actually knew a lot about it beforehand. It's nothing I didn't learn before in, like, my master's program or 15 years working in higher ed. But it gave me the confidence, you know, to engage the network and do some things differently. And, you know, that's been really good. And I think that, you know, hopefully you've had moments like this too. Very early on, I started having people in higher ed and student affairs come to me and say, you know, this is a great idea. I don't know why no one's been doing this before. And to me, that's a great sign that you're on the right track. I mean, like, I've been saying it for 5 years and having people roll their eyes at me, look at me like I'm crazy. And it's good that there are at least a few crazy people out there that think it's a good idea. And, you know.
Yeah, so, it's interesting, too. I don't know I mean, you talk about the feedback you got before you started. When I was thinking about doing something in October, as far as, you know, as this for-profit kind of money-making venture, not that I'm thinking I'm ever going to get rich by doing this, just it was going to be like a non-profit thing. I sent an email out to, or it's actually a Facebook message out to about, I don't know, 20 or 30 people I've worked with over the years in higher ed that I wanted to get their feedback on. Most people didn't respond to it. A few people responded saying, like, well, there are other blogs out there. So I guess they didn't really maybe get what I was doing, or they thought if someone was doing it, that I shouldn't be doing it. But even though I was trying to do something different, I thought. Gary was like the first, and Gary's listening, so that's why I want to be sure to give him a lot of credit. Gary was the first one to really jump on to say, hey, this is great, I'll, you know, help any way possible. So Gary's kind of been along with the ride with me from the start. He's kind of the first, you know, feedback and the kind of person I go to ask, you know, to get feedback from as we go along, and he's written a lot. And so it's been, it was interesting though, either the lack of feedback or a lot of the feedback I got wasn't necessarily positive. It wasn't say like, go and do this. Now, once I've started it, and now more people were saying like, hey, this is really great, but it's interesting how that initial feedback was never really there.
Well, you've hit the nail on the head. Very similar story for me, and I think that's why you're a good person to talk to. I think that's why I connect with you around this subject of supporting innovation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're very good at it. I don't think student affairs people are good at it. I don't think universities are very good at it. And you know, I'm going to be a little bit of a crank here, but hopefully, maybe, you know, if people disagree with me, maybe they'll pick up the phone and call and tell me I'm a crank. But here's the thing. I got a lot of projects over my history at Penn State, in residence life especially, where mainly I didn't always ask for permission. Sometimes I did, sometimes I didn't. But I started doing things that people either didn't know how to do or didn't understand the impact of, and they're like, yeah, okay, Sean, whatever, just go do it. Or, yeah, I don't think that's going to work, and I would just go, well, you'll see. And then later, they not only would, you know, they'd be like, well, Sean's a little nuts. Go let him do what he's doing. That's very creative, but whatever. Let him do his little thing. So that's often, with a shoulder shrug and maybe a roll of the eyes, the kind of support I got. That doesn't deter me, because I'm a very stubborn SOB. Anybody who knows me knows that I am. I'm stubborn, I'm a little bit self-righteous, and I'm okay with that. Not everybody is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, looking back, when I started at Penn State, in 95, as a residence life coordinator for Nittany Apartments, the expectation there was, oh, it's just apartments, those kids don't want to be involved, you've got an easy job, just go, don't rock the boat, just do whatever you want to do. You know, stay off their radar screen, make sure they don't wreck the place. That's kind of the feedback I got from a lot of people. But that wasn't very engaging to me. It wasn't very, you know, it didn't light me up. It didn't make my heart sing, you know. So I decided that I was going to prove them wrong. Yeah, because I believe that students in apartments want community on campus just as much as anybody else. You just have the problem of architecture. You have the problem of different place in life. And you have a real problem of communication, because you don't have those double-loaded corridors. You can't just, you know, people aren't leaving their doors wide open. You have to reach them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I started a listserv back in 1995. Penn State didn't have any residence life listservs back then. Hardly anybody did. I went to a conference one time and asked people how many people were doing this, and it was like three other schools that I could find at the time. This is 95. I mean, it's still fairly early. But I was like, well, if they're not going to open the door, you can waste a lot of paper trying to get newsletters to them. We had U.S. mail at that apartment complex, so we couldn't stuff the mailboxes with free newsletters, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I started emailing them. Boy, howdy, did I get some interesting, like, I was a very hated person for a while because universities didn't send bulk email to their resident students then. I had hundreds and hundreds of nasty emails. How dare you send me messages? And I'm like, well, how dare you ask me? Because you're using a university email account, and I'm part of the university.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you what you need to know. And then that settled down. I actually presented at one of the apartment conferences one year on using listservs and other, you know, media. And, you know, these days nobody would think twice about having a listserv to send messages out to their kids.
Well, Sean, I think that's part of the problem because you did it in 95, so that's 15 years ago, and that was innovative. Now people think that's the answer. You know, listservs is the answer, but we've moved on from listservs. People don't use email the way that they used to, but so many people think, I refuse to join professional listservs now. I get tired of just the junk that comes in my inbox, and when I did have them, it was just like an automatic delete thing on there, and people just don't read listservs like they used to. But a lot of schools now, when talking about lack of innovation, they're like, "Oh, we've done this for 10 years now. This is the answer," and it's not. They're not moving forward onto the new thing, and now they're dragging their feet to move forward again.
Right, that's interesting, kind of foot dragging. You know, I mean,
yeah.
We all do. Everyone's poo-pooed somebody's idea before. I mean, right? And everybody's had their, you know. It's like when you're an elementary school kid and you've got this great new pair of shoes. You've been looking forward to it. You know, you went out and you got these new shoes. You're so glad you're going out to show people your new shoes. And then your big brother makes sure to step on them and dingy them all up. And they were perfect and pristine and beautifully white. You know, like the old white Nike leather tennis shoes everybody used to wear.
Or the Run DMC Adidas.
They're stepping on your new shoes. They're stepping on your new shoes. It's just mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think we're very good at it. I'd like to hear other thoughts. You said Gary's listening, so we have at least one listener. Gary, feel free to call. Anybody else that's out there, we'd love to hear your thoughts on this. Our phone number for call-in is 347-989-0055, or you can go to our episode page and click on the Skype Click to Talk logo, and let's hear your thoughts. If you think I'm full of crap, I'd really love it if you called and told me. If you think I'm brilliant, I'd especially love you to call and tell me. With that, okay, so what can we do about this, Jeff? What can we do about how can we support
Also, I know that Jessica is listening and Cindy are listening. So they already added themselves on Twitter, so they can call in now.
Well, people make mistakes like that. Yeah. Great.
You know, the interesting thing is there was something on, I think it was the Huffington Post, and they did their top 10 companies that were started from colleges.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Google was a graduate project from an MBA program. It's at Stanford, and you know, Dell computers started out of a dorm room in UT Austin. In fact, the vice president who kicked Michael Dell out of the dorm room taught a class of mine when I was in grad school, and he told us the whole story, which is really interesting. You know, a lot of innovation happens on a college campus. It baffles me how college campuses are slow to adopt the innovation that starts there on their campus. Even if you look at the research professors do on management or business management, and universities are still mired in the bureaucracy of 50 years ago. And so I think part of it is that now with the coming of age of social media, and not only that, the practitioners are on it. When I first got on Twitter, you know, Eric was there and Deborah was there. There's a few people that were there, but it was there weren't a lot of practitioners there. There were a lot of the university web people were around, but not a lot of the, you know, our group wasn't there. That's grown dramatically over this year, this actual academic year, and with, I think, the SA chat really helps that. Having evangelists like Ed, you know, helps that. And so now we have a really sizable community that's constantly learning online and using technology. I think having these things in this group of people is going to help slowly make that change. And so one of the reasons I wanted to launch a student affairs specific or university podcast that's for the practitioner, it's not for the university web designer. Like, they have their stuff. It's for the practitioners and how we can use technology and innovation. Is that I have a goal to drag higher ed up that technology hill, because that's what it seems like. That's the kind of fight that seems like we're in. It's a drag on there. So, I think it's just anything in higher ed is slow. It's Leah Westcott from The Cronk talked about this the first time she was on our podcast. Is that we had Dr. Jackson from ACPA talk about the merger of ACPA and NASPA, and he came on the podcast to talk about that. And I was all kind of excited and fired up. And then Leah came on the next week and said, "Yeah, nothing's going to change. Nothing ever changes in higher ed. All stays the same." And she was absolutely right. Is that change did not happen and probably won't happen anytime soon. And you know, change is just such a hard thing to do. But I think the hope is that once these people who are on Twitter and getting connected now, they start to get into more director roles, they start to get the more associate dean and the more dean roles, that this change will start to take place more.
If they feel supported.
Yeah.
Yeah, and again, that's, you know, again, I'm going to be cranky about this. Okay, so I got to do a lot of things, again, back in my career that I thought were pretty innovative and fairly early on. And then, you know, they became kind of established things that people do. But I always wanted to try something new, you know. When we started getting into the social media stuff, when the web has really kind of been cracking through the veneer here a little bit, and really kind of, you know, it's changed completely the locus of control for messaging about the university. And if you've ever watched the really great social media in plain English, have you ever watched the Common Craft show, the little cartoons? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. You know, they talk about companies having to understand and adapt to the fact that marketing's no longer a one-way conversation. You know, it's not just a push. You know, you want to say something about your brand, you want to target your brand, the way to do that is actually have a conversation, be who you're supposed to be. And I think people are missing that. So control, I think, is very much part of the issue. And guess what, Jeff? We have a caller. So let's go see what our caller has to say about this. Caller 2, you are on the air. Who do we have?
Hello, everybody. It's Gary.
Hey, Gary.
Hi, I'm a little delayed because I've paused. I'm multitasking, so I paused to help someone out and take a phone call. So, what are we talking about again? I think I've
yes.
We've been talking bad about you since you weren't listening, but
I heard all that part. I heard that part.
we're talking about innovation in higher ed and how we can support it and I haven't gotten to the solution part. Right now, I'm just bitching.
Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, so we've got a problem here. People want to innovate, and is it being supported in higher ed? Jeff seems to agree with me. What do you think?
I would say absolutely not, for the most part. And I think that's across the board in all the different areas. Inside higher ed or in student affairs, I would say no one wants to be the first for whatever reason. There are very few institutions that want to be the first to take a risk on a project, on an initiative. They'd rather wait and sit around and wait a few years and then, you know, adopt that initiative when we're already moving on to something else. And I think there's a complete lack of innovation as higher education as a profession, with, you know, very few exceptions.
Yeah. You know,
Sean, one of our podcasts early on, I think it was our second or third one, is that we did predictions for the new year. That was our one of our early podcasts. And right. I got to say, a lot of them have come true, surprisingly. But one thing Gary talked about, he said, what's the deal with the fact that higher ed refuses to do things like viral videos or have YouTube channels? And, you know, and some do, but they're mostly around college admissions. Like, you don't see, like, this is the residence hall tour and put on YouTube from a lot of institutions, or this is, like, a sample of some of the leadership workshops you could do and put on YouTube as an example. Like, it's everything that's on YouTube is about getting students there. There's nothing about the there on YouTube. And you know, a few months later, though, Yale does that really cool admissions video, Why I Chose Yale. And it
right.
was met with a lot of criticism.
Yeah.
And I'd say probably more criticism than praise.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that, Gary?
I would absolutely say that was true. And at first, I think I think the initial response is always, you know, cool, this is cool, and it's good, positive buzz. And then it hits the outskirts, it hits that fringe. I think there's that fringe element, you know, somewhere out there where the initial adopters are really, really excited about it and have positive and constructive feedback. And then it hits that wall, it hits that fringe where those people who are less likely to innovate, less likely to be early adopters, kind of, you know, poo-poo it or step on it or disagree with it or think it's silly or stupid or a waste of time.
Well, don't you think part of that goes down to people's fear of failure?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think institutions are stuck in it. Not that I'm not, okay, for a long time, you know, and still some days today, you know, I get stuck in my little pity party mood and say, oh, what the hell am I doing here? I quit a great job to be a career coach. I thought I'd be making lots and lots of money by now, and I'm not, but you know what? Every time I think like that, I understand that slow and steady wins the race.
Right.
And I've done that before. I mean, like, you know, I kept doing my silly little listserv for 3 years until everybody had them. You know? Later, I was in charge of the RA classes at Penn State, and we started using Angel, you know, a course management system for the RA classes. I started taking it, and some other people started taking it and using it for residence hall groups to communicate because clubs were allowed to. So we just signed up for, like, club accounts. And all of a sudden you have this whole content management thing. You know, it's like a full-featured website with discussion boards, whatever you want. You can just plug it in. Now everybody has them. People
right.
are like, I don't know that you ought to be doing that. And that now it's, again, now it's everything you should be doing. One of my last projects was setting up a podcasting studio and doing some sample podcasts to show the potential. And that landed me on the radar screen of some people in the vice president's office who didn't like it. And I had a nice conversation with one of them in particular. And basically, he stepped on my new shoes. And I said, you know what, I'm done here. After 15 years, like, he said the one thing that just finally got me off my ass to say, you know what, I've been doing what I've been doing here, and to the point where it's become history, it's become the way we do things. I did a little bathroom newsletter for Alcohol Awareness Month back in 1995 called Stall Stories. They do it every week at all 9 campuses, residential campuses at Penn State now. People do all that stuff all over the country now. Capture your audience. Put your newsletter in the bathroom. People thought I was crazy. Now it's part of Penn State culture. If you don't, the measure of a good RA is whether they put stall stories up on time. If you don't, you're a shitty RA. Excuse my French, but that's where it starts. And I just decided I was done. I just decided that I didn't have any reason not to just go do my own thing. I have the money. I'm smart enough. I know what I'm doing, at least, but I know what I'm doing with social media and where I want to go with it. I wasn't going to be able to do it at a university, so I quit.
Mm-hmm. Sean, I think you stumbled onto a bigger problem there in your story, is that it's the same reason why print media is dying. No one wants to relinquish control. They don't trust anyone else. So you weren't able to do a podcast because you are going to be the voice of an institution, and the institution wants to have that control. Even though they don't want to do it, they want to have that control. It's like either like the PR office or university advancement or something like that. You know, they don't want to relinquish any of that control. And David Mimer and Scott talks about this. You know, that's why the Grateful Dead is so successful. It wasn't because they sold a lot of albums. It's because they gave it all away. You could bring a microphone to a concert and record it and then make 100 copies and give it to your friends. And they were excited about that because they knew more people were going to come to concerts and more people were going to buy the tie-dye T-shirts and stuff. And they became a legendary band because they gave up control of the copyright fees. And, I mean, there's no way – well, actually, some bands are trying to do that now with the free – with a free download, but that's, I mean, I think that's part of it, is that technology is new, and they don't know it, and they don't understand it, and if I'm the vice president, I've been doing this for 30 years, I know how to do this, I don't need to learn that new thing, and so we're fine, we don't need it, and you can't do it, and we still have the control.
Yeah, well, here's what's funny to me. Okay, so again, people like me, just finally sooner or later, they just get fed up and at least take a break. And if I don't make enough money sooner or later on this, I'll have to go back to work, you know? That's just how the world works, right? But it's a shame because just like newspapers, they're clinging to how they want things to be. And here's where the life coaching part, career coaching, let's just say university coaching comes in. There is no control. That's an illusion. Those days are over. It's gone. That ship sailed a long time ago. The fact that you're just realizing it now and getting pissed off about it is irrelevant. And if you don't change, so will you be in a couple years.
Mm-hmm.
Is that pissy enough for you? Yeah, I mean, think about it. You know, you look at, my brother works for IBM. You know, IBM pretty much invented the laptop. See where it's got them now.
Mm-hmm.
They sold off that whole, you know?
Sold it to China.
Yeah. Nobody wants to do that anymore. And, you know, there are still some ways that IBM is innovating, but mostly they're holding the fort down and hoping that they can find the next big thing and they'll slap them in the face that they can't ignore it, you know? And it's sad because that was once a giant of industry and a great innovator out there in the world, and now nobody's talking about IBM anymore. They're talking about Apple. They're talking about HTC. They're talking about mobile computing, and they're not talking about that anymore. So what can we do? What should universities be doing now to support innovation in higher ed? Let's do this. I really want some more callers, but you guys stay on the line. I'm going to announce the call-in number, then we're going to play my little ad, and then we'll see if anybody gets the nerve up to call from hearing that great ad and being all motivated. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
Okay, the number is 347-989-0055. You're listening to the Higher Ed Career Coach Show on blogtalkradio.com. I'd love to hear your thoughts on how we can support innovation in higher education and student affairs. Again, the number is 347-989-0055, or you can go to my episode page on blogtalkradio.com for this episode, Supporting Innovation in Student Affairs, and click on the Skype Click to Talk logo. We'll be back in just a minute.
Are you someone who's still working to discover your life purpose? Do you long to create a career you'll absolutely love? Before you can do this, you have to understand your talents and skills. Explore the options in front of you. Understand what's blocking you practically and emotionally. And make a strategic plan. My name is Sean Cook, and I'm a certified life and career coach through the Life Purpose Institute. As a coach, I can help you explore your talent, interests, skills, and abilities, and research options that provide a good match for those things which make you uniquely you. If you're interested in exploring what coaching can do for you, please contact me at sean@higheredcareercoach.com or give me a call at 706-363-0539.
Now, didn't that get you pumped up? Aren't you just ready to just get out there?
I may call.
Yeah.
Hey, Cindy Kane, if Cindy Kane's listening, she needs to call in. She wrote a Twitter message about how the Vice President of Student Affairs wrote a blog post for the orientation blog and how she sees this as a big step forward for social media adoption on campus. And so, Cindy, if you're listening, call in and let's chat about that maybe.
Yeah, great. Did we lose Gary? We lost Gary, didn't we?
We lost Gary.
No,
yeah.
I'm not seeing him on the switchboard. I hope I didn't offend. But anyway, maybe he'll join us again. Maybe Cindy will call him. Maybe someone else who's, you know, spending their morning with us will get the courage up. But, great. I just knocked something over. Huh. Probably wasn't important. The home office, home studio sometimes works against me.
I have a home closet.
My closet's too full of junk or I'd be in there right now. I have done a couple of recordings from a closet, but anyway. So we've kind of been railing against some of the establishment here. Hopefully Gary didn't leave because he thought he'd be in trouble, guilt by association or whatever.
He was calling from his office, so he had to go back to work, is what he said.
Okay, well, that happens. That's cool. You know, when I think about innovation, you know, there's a quote that comes to mind, and I think it was Swift who said, "You'll know a true genius by this sign. A confederacy of dunces will rise up against him." And if you've ever read the book Confederacy of Dunces, there's a great story behind that. It was written by a guy named John Kennedy Toole, and it was the only work of literature to ever win a posthumous Pulitzer Prize in literature when the author never even knew it was published. Because Toole committed suicide before it ever got published, and his mother actually shopped it around to different places. And the whole book is written about this guy named Ignatius J. Reilly, who's this philosopher wannabe who lives in New Orleans with his mother, writing his philosophical treatises on big chief notebook paper and crayon and dreaming about the day he's going to be a famous philosopher. And he's very obsessed with all things philosophical. And then he has to go out and get a job. So the whole book, and it's written back in the 60s, is basically cartoonish adventures that he has while he has to go out and get a job. And the central question in the book is Ignatius really crazy or is the world? And it's a great book. So if you've never read it, go read it. It's the only book I've ever bought five times. loaning it out and did not get it back. It's that kind of book. People don't give it back. So, yeah. So anyway, read it.
Hey, Sean.
I do think. Yeah. Hello.
Yeah. Hey, when did you update your website? When did you get that new logo?
I ran a 99 designs contest, and I actually going to launch a redesign on all my sites to kind of visually unify them. I got that last week, ran a contest last week, and I've been meaning to explain what I'm doing. But, yeah, you like it?
I think it looks great.
Yeah. Yeah, there's
I really like the C with the mortarboard.
Yeah, yeah. You know, if you've never heard of 99 Designs, they're pretty awesome. You basically run a little contest, and you offer a prize that you're comfortable with, and then you run a contest for a week, and designers just pitch you their ideas trying to win your money. So basically I ran into this contest with pretty tall order that I wanted a logo that would unify my brand imagery. Because people are always talking about brands, okay? And you know, because you've followed me for a while, I have very split personality. I have Higher Ed Career Coach, I have Higher Ed Life Coach, I have now SeanCook.net, and I actually have two other sites that eventually I'll get around to. One that's just going to be HigherEdCoach.com. It's basically going to be a directory sort of thing for coaches and consultants serving higher ed. You know, more geared towards the business end of this and helping people get booked or, you know, figure out how to do coaching and consulting. And then puttingyourpurposetowork.com, which is just a holding pattern for a book I think I'm writing. So, anyway, I wanted to unify this, and I said, basically, give me something that will be academic yet fun, imply coaching, and speak for my overall brand and my business, which, by the way, is called Cook Coaching and Consulting, because I wasn't very original, and I wrestled with all these creative names and couldn't decide. And it was keeping me from filing my business paperwork, so I just got bored and filed the paperwork and became Cook Coaching and Consulting Limited, because limited just means that I'm not incorporated, but it sounds nice. So anyway, the C is great.
I think it's great. Because I got a Google alert about the nice post you put about us on there, and then when I opened it up, it took me a second to realize that was your website, because it was. I do so much of my web reading through you know, RSS feeds and, you know, readers. I don't always go to sites, and so I haven't been here since it's been changed, and so. I think that's really good.
Well, yeah. It's even more's coming. I've got some people working to kind of help me declutter my sideboards, make it more readable. And I'm going to be doing some things, really, hopefully, that will help people want to visit the site a little bit more. It'll be a little stickier, I guess, in the long run. But, yeah. I like it because the C says cook, coach, career, college, says all those things.
Yeah.
And it's academic, says coaching. It's kind of fun. So, yeah, she did a great job, and I didn't pay hardly any money for it. I paid, like, with the fees, I think it was $210. And I got 56 designs, something like that, submitted. So if anyone needs graphic, yeah, you're not going to find good graphic design that cheap. And I guess for designers, it's great because I really like this lady, and you know, I'll probably continue to work with her, but I'll take it offline and actually pay her actual rate. So, you know, if you're a designer, that's a good thing. You might even say it's innovative. But anyway, so okay. Well, hopefully we'll get a couple callers in a minute, but I do want to talk more about what you're doing and your. I want to telethon this. I promise you we'd NPR pledge break here and pimp your fundraising campaign. So let's shift into that if you're cool with that. And
sure.
Here's what I'd like to do. Okay. Jeff's going to explain. HireEdShow.com fundraising campaign for Break Drink and all the changes that are going on. And if you think that's great and very innovative, or if you'd like to promise Jeff that you'll pledge him some money, give us a call, 347-989-0055, or go to my episode page and click on the Skype Click to Talk S logo. If you call and give us any pledges, promise any pledges, I'll ring a bell for you. How's that?
Yeah, right. I feel like every time I talk about it on my podcast, I feel like I'm Ira Glass. Every time you try to listen to This American Life, he's been talking about donations. But I've been working on my NPR website. So someone was just asking for the website. Jessica was asking for the website. Jessica, if you go to breakdrink.com, it's on the upper right-hand corner. There's a little icon image there, and you can click on it there. Indiegogo, I actually yesterday made the feature, thing of the day, and so that was yesterday. I don't know how long it stays there, but if you go to indiegogo.com, it'll plug in the front page, and it says breakdrink.com. If not, you can just search for it on there. So what I wanted to do is, everything, and I'm sure you're in the same boat, everything so far, I think I may have made $4.75 from Google AdSense revenue so far on the website. But everything so far has just been paid out of pocket. You know, I have a monthly hosting fee I pay, buying the website. You and I both use the same theme from WordPress on there. And so purchasing those things and just the time and effort, everything so far has been out of pocket. To do this expansion and to do it right, because I want to have quality sounding, podcast, and eventually I want to be able to pay some people for their effort, something that's down the line though. I needed a little jump start, and so I wanted to go through a website to help do this, and Indiegogo just made it easier. I could get it together and do it a lot faster than if I was just going to build all this out myself on my own website. And so I went to Indiegogo with the goal to raise $2,000. And actually, during this website, Ed, I don't know if he's listening, Ed Cabellan just donated money. So thanks, Ed, for your
contribution. In fact, we have a caller on the line. Yeah, we have a caller on the line. Who knows who that could be? Maybe they want to give you money. So stay on the line, caller. Let's let Jeff finish his point there, if we can, if I didn't make you lose it. Or we can just talk to the caller.
Yeah, just go bring the caller up.
Okay, caller two. Got you on the air. Who do we have?
This is the Ed Cabellan calling in.
Hey, Ed.
Ed.
How's it going, brother? Yeah.
How are you guys doing?
Doing well. Ed, thanks for your donation.
Oh, you're welcome. It's my pleasure. I'm sorry I didn't get to you sooner. Today's payday, it made it easier to give today.
Great. Well, since you gave some money, Ed, hold on a second. I'm going to give you a chime. Wasn't that great?
That's awesome. Thanks, man. Yeah,
okay.
I heard it. Thanks.
It made my dog's ears perk up, though.
Okay. Well, hi, doggy. Good doggy. Give him a bone, something. Okay. Yeah, Ed, what do you think about this whole topic? And I mean, you hate innovation. We know that about you, but let's hear your thoughts in your own words.
Well, I've been listening on and off all morning. I haven't been able to listen to you straight. I've been having some issues with my connectivity, but I did want to call in and just congratulate Jeff on his efforts to do what he's doing with Break Drink. I think what he's doing is great. And I think that, as we move forward in a digital age where student affairs in particular, professionals are going to need to start being more creative with how they get to professional development. I mean, the FHA Chat community is already living proof of the fact that, when you bring people together who want to learn and want a different way of learning when travel budgets are definitely frozen and cut, I think what Jeff's trying to do is great, and that's why I chose to support him today. And he knows I've supported him since the beginning with things he's done, and And vice versa, I know he's done the same with me. And so it's been a great relationship, and I just wanted to make sure he knew that publicly that I definitely supported it and, you know, wanted to definitely call him today because I knew what you guys were doing, and I think it's great. And, I think moving forward, the stuff that hopefully, you know, and knowing the community that's out there on Twitter, I'm sure his goal by the time, was it another 5 days or 6 days? I forget how many days are left, but I have a feeling that people will come together and support you and get you started. And really, you know, whatever you ask of folks, you know, I'm sure people will give. So congratulations, Jeff. I think it's great what you're doing. So.
Thanks, Ed. Much appreciated.
Thanks for calling in, Ed. Do you have any tips on how we can support innovation? Do you have any one or two thoughts you could share on what you think we should be doing to do this better in higher ed?
I mean,
I think Ed's pushed his campus towards innovation as much or more than anyone else, I think, on the FHI community, because I think half my Twitter list is from Ed's campus.
Well, I have to give Sydney Kane credit too. Her and I definitely have tried to, you know, challenge folks to try and get on Twitter and other forms of social media. And Sydney, in her own right, has done some amazing work, in particular in the areas of leadership and orientation. And so, to her credit as well, she definitely deserves some of that. But I appreciate that, Jeff. For me, I think the innovation starts with collaboration, and I think that a lot of us are doing things in our own sort of corners, just trying to see what works. I think we're all, you know, playing in our sandboxes, trying to figure out, you know, between you know, I know Sean with you with your stuff and with my blog, and you know, I know others out there who are doing their thing. I think that once we figure out something that works, and I don't know if there's ever going to be a formula that works. I think that, you know, with social media and with the things that are out there now, I think it's just, you know, people will catch on to things that are important to them. I think that, you know, once we figure out some things that do work, it's just coming together and talking about it more and encouraging others to sort of do their, you know, to do their thing as well. So helping each other out, like we're trying to do with Jeff right now, is important for innovation. And just not being afraid to try and fail. I mean, I think a lot of what holds people back is the fact that they're afraid that it may not work, or people won't listen, or people won't read, or people won't watch. But at the end of the day, you know, if your intentions are good, and which is, you know, to provide education and it's to give a service to people that you think they might want or need, you know, and seeing what happens, just trying it out, I think, is important, and not being afraid to hit a few bumps along the way. I think everyone does go through that. So that's really my quick tip.
Well, beautiful, Ed. Thanks for calling. Thanks for sharing. And we'll talk.
You're
to
welcome.
You
good luck. Yeah, good luck, you guys. Take care.
Thanks so much, Ed.
Well, beautiful. Well, you know, we're coming up on the noon hour, but I've always decided lately, ever since I had a show a couple weeks ago cut off on me and hang up on me, but leave all my callers wondering where I went. I've scheduled in some buffer. What's your schedule? Do you need to be done in the next minute or two, Jeff? Or
no, I'm fine. I can go as long as you need. I don't work on Fridays, so we have a 4-day work week, so
nice.
I'm free.
Yeah. Well, I do a little work every day, but not always the things I think I'm doing. You know, small children and a home office can really conspire against you. But anyway,
I guess I should say I don't work on campus on Fridays. I'm always working when I'm away from campus.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Well, let me see where I want to go with this. Let me see if I can pitch for a couple more callers, because that's always fun. It's 347-989-0055, and you can also get to me by going to the episode page and clicking on the Skype Click to Talk logo. Okay, well, I think Ed had some great ideas there. I mean, to me, he mentioned the idea of a formula.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's a formula, but there sure is a process. And to me, it's interaction and engagement.
Yeah, I mean, very good point, because, you know, now it's if you ask people who are doing it, they'll say, you got to use Twitter and you got to use Facebook. And it's not that Twitter and Facebook are the answer. It's just that they're the answer today. next year, those two things could be gone. There could be something else that shows up. And I think the point is, it's just getting people to use some tools now so when the game does change, they'll be more comfortable with making that change in the future.
Yeah, I agree. But I would actually say that the game is changing. It's already changing. Maybe it's better to look at, the game is this whole big thing, but people are just running different plays. How's that for a coaching metaphor? You like that?
Yeah.
That's good. But, if you're going to move forward, you have to interact, you have to engage. I think
absolutely.
Everybody wants to be Michael Jordan with the ball making 50 points a game. That's not how it works anymore. Say what you will about Kobe and all these other people. There's no Michael Jordan in the game anymore. And I don't think right now we know who the next Michael Jordan of higher education is. And I think maybe we're missing the point because I think it's us.
Mm-hmm.
Not just you and me, but us in the broader sense of the word. Engagement's the answer. And that means loss of control. That means you can't be a ball hog anymore. You can't just do what you want to do and tell other people what they should be doing. Right? So,
yeah.
So
can I share a few books with everyone?
Oh, you sure can. Good times.
Yeah, and so I think, I hope people become more entrepreneurial in a sense. And it doesn't mean you have to start a business, but if you're on your website, I personally want to make something that matters, and I think you do too. I think Ed does with his blog, it may not be those things for people. It's using whatever gifts and talents and skills you have. To better the community. So there are a few books I read that have helped me. And most of them, they're not educational. They're more in the business sense. And all these people have blogs also. But Chris Brogan's Trust Agents was a great book. And a lot of people will know Chris Brogan. One thing that you talked about earlier with your story that I think resonates a lot is that you kind of have this innate coaching ability. All of your years in higher ed probably gave you the experience to be a life coach more so than going through the training courses to get certified. But I think a lot of times in education, because the people we're around are other educators, we kind of downplay our knowledge and experience to think, oh, everyone must know this. If I'm doing it, it's simple. Not everyone knows it, and I think Seth Godin's Tribe talks about that. The skills and knowledge that you've gained over the last 2 years, it's not known to everyone how to do that. And so just because the people you're around may know student development theory as much or better than you doesn't mean the entire world does. It doesn't mean other people know how to do that. And so that's why the higher ed people are always the ones career counseling their friends in the group because we do it every day.
Yeah.
There's a great book.
That may be the flaw in my business model, but we'll talk about that some other day.
but I gotta say it's you always want to turn to someone. If you're always the career counselor, you also want to be able to bounce things off people and get some feedback yourself. There's a guy, he actually lives in West Texas, his name is Hugh McLeod. He wrote a book, he's on Twitter as Gaping Void. He's an artist and he did work in marketing for a while. He called Ignore Everybody and 39 Other Keys to Creativity. It's a really easy book to read, and it has a lot of really, basically advice from his experience as being a publicist in New York to living now as an artist in West Texas. He is in the technology community. He's on he's on a lot of podcasts and things from the Silicon Valley. And so I really enjoyed this book. One of the things that stuck with me as far as ignore everybody was one of the things, the key to being creative. And it's basically whenever you, not everyone wants their friends or people they care about to be successful. And sometimes, not intentionally, they kind of sabotage your dreams and goals because it's just easier. So that was ignore everyone. And then another point he made is never compare your insides with someone else's outsides, because you're always doing the comparison game. If you've been on Twitter for a while, you've probably heard of Gary Vaynerchuk. He has a book called Crush It. It's called Cashing on Your Passion. If you've seen Gary talk a lot before, you've probably heard a lot of what he says on here. But, you know, Gary is the guy that basically believes everyone should be doing and making money in what they're completely passionate in. You know, and if you're completely passionate in student affairs, he's not going to tell you not to do that. But there's other things you can do, you know, to do that, because I think a few of us may have had some burnout here or there in student affairs. And so he wants you to find things that you're passionate in and to make money off of it. So those are books that I kind of read leading up to this launch and a few other ones that are more about, you know, the creators of HubSpot. They're specifically about, you know, blogging technique and things like that in there. But those are the four I would really recommend.
Yeah, they're actually, I just got a copy of Trust Agents. I read Gaping Void. That's in my feeder every day. I really like what he does. Have you seen what he calls cube grenades?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just, little one-shot art things, and, you know, he sells prints of them. That's how he makes some of his money, is he sells, you know, real prints.
I met him recently.
Yeah? Wow.
Yeah, I met him recently. Really nice guy. He lives in Alpine, Texas, which is a place I would love to live out in the Davis Mountains in West Texas. Really, really great guy. He was in San Antonio a couple of days ago, but I wasn't able to go meet up with him. He's actually very responsive on Twitter. If you send me messages, he's going to reply back to you. And so,
Why don't you get him on my show? Get him on my show.
I'll see what I can do.
You can come back. You can come back and be on my show. What?
All right. I'll see what I can do to get him here.
Nah, yeah, but that's beautiful. You know, what I think was interesting in what you said a lot of times people sabotage you. I think sometimes they don't mean to. It's just their own inner voice telling them, well, I can't do this. I don't want this person to be hurt because I know they can't do it either.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, they can't tell the future.
Yeah.
You make your future. I got tired of listening to what other people told me was going to happen. There's no gonna. Gonna means nothing. Do or don't.
Yeah.
You know, I decided to do. And if I'm crazy and I go down in flames, you know what? I am enjoying my life right now, and I know for a fact I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Someday I hope it pays the bills. But if it doesn't, I'm happy in the meantime. And if you're happy, you can do amazingly different things with your life and your energy. And for me, until I make more money, you know what I'm doing with that energy? Spending my time with my family and really enjoying my kids. And you can call me a failure if you want to, but that's okay with me. If that's the only thing I do that's really successful in my life, I think I've done a pretty good thing. So there's my 2 cents on that one. What do you think?
Sean, I think you're right. I don't think it's always intentional that people sabotage you. But I think people are so afraid of failure, and I was so in that same place for a long time. And you know, if this website fails, you know, I've invested maybe $1,000 or so into it, but my family still gets to eat. We still have insurance. There's still a house over our head. And I probably have learned a lot, and I've had a lot of fun along the way. And so because I love doing this, I have a lot of nights. I only sleep maybe 4 or 5 hours a night because I had to find time to do this, to not take time away from my family. But I love it. I mean, it's not draining. It's still energizing. And if a year goes by, and Braidream.com has been a colossal failure, it's not going to really hurt. You know, I would have learned a lot, and I could come back and do something later if I want to.
Yeah. Well, I know for a fact that's not going to happen because it's already lasted this long, and it's already made an impact on this many people. Now, your concept might change. You might never make money, but that can't be your only measure for success, right?
Right.
You know, I mean, and you make a great point, and the things that you learn, you carry forward. You know, in some ways it's ironic that I'm a career coach. I stayed mostly at the same place for most of my career. I moved up internally at Penn State. I did the things I wanted to do, but I kind of hit a wall. I'm not a director of anything. I never got to be. I'm never going to be, you know, because I changed my goals. But I learned a hell of a lot in that 15 and a half years. And I actually use the most useful things that I learned in the last 15 years almost every day now. So something went right. So I'm not going to regret it. I also think, too, that my concept of what a career in higher ed means has changed. You know, when we were having my going away stuff at Penn State, you know, one of the people said, well, you know, Sean's getting out of the field. He's going to be a career coach. And I corrected them. I said, no, I'm going to be a career coach. I didn't leave the field. I'm working with the field. I'm working to change the field. You know, I may or may not have a huge impact on career development in higher ed, but I certainly have puzzled a few people into thinking about some things differently over the last year. And, you know, I know that more people are paying attention because I look at my web stats. And I have interesting people now after a year starting to call me, say, well, what's this about and how could I be a part of it? And part of it scares the crap out of me because I don't know what to ask for. I don't know what to do, you know. And I also don't want to make a mistake because I feel like, well, you get to a certain point and your partnerships and your future projects start to imply the momentum you're having, and it's either uphill or downhill. No one lets you have that middle ground where they let life be a roller coaster like it really is, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you look at Apple, well, 10 years ago, Apple was dead as a doornail, never going to make it. You wouldn't say that today. So
yeah, they had Apple had to get a loan from was it Microsoft gave them $150 million to loan to stay around.
Yeah, and then they stopped trying to develop Microsoft Word for the Mac for a while until they realized that, you know, they couldn't, you know, all of a sudden Mac started selling and they started recommitting to, you know, Microsoft Office products for the Mac.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of Mac users in the meantime decided to use OpenOffice, which is free, you know, good for Microsoft. They'll be the IBM 15 years from now. They're not careful. So, well, anyway, wow. Well, this has been a kind of free-range conversation today, hasn't it? We've covered quite
a bit. Most of my conversations are.
Yeah, well, I like it. Hopefully people find it somewhat listenable. And if not, I'll eventually edit some of my better stuff, put it out on CD, and you can pay me $10 for it. Or not. Got to monetize somehow, right?
Yeah.
So let's just recap some things. Innovation in higher ed, not doing it well. Need to do it better. It's really a conversation. Give up control because it's an illusion. Learn to fail. Those are good things that we talked about. That's kind of what I think our summary points are. The other thing is go over to breakdrink.com and take a look at what you're doing with your Indiegogo campaign. You can also view the link or the widget on my front page today. So everybody who hasn't, do yourself a favor, feel a little guilty about it. Go give Jeff and Break Drink some money so they He had a pop.
I heard a voice.
It was a popsicle. Yeah, he had Popeyes, I guess. You know, the little plastic cup. And he said, this was a popsicle, and it was supposed to be ice, but I drank it.
Wow.
Okay, whatever.
Now I want to go get a popsicle.
Yeah, I'm totally getting one, too. Okay, but anyway, let's get back to it. Give money to Jeff and to BreakDrink. Take a look at what is happening with this emerging podcast directory network sort of thing that you're doing. Check out the conference links because you're going to start taking program proposals soon enough, right?
Yeah, and I did a link for BreakDrink Conference on there. I announced the date, so probably in a couple of weeks we'll do proposals. Actually, though, we are doing a collaboration with Region 5 for AFA July 23rd, and we're not taking proposal submissions, but you can go ahead and register now if you want to. It's just breakdrink.com/AFA. That's about a month away, I guess.
Yeah. Well, that's great. It's been great having you on the show here today. I'm going to head out and enjoy the weekend because it's like about 90 degrees here, and we've got the Athens Arts and Music Festival here today, AppFest. I'm volunteering for that. I'm very excited to go look at art and music and hang out downtown. What are you doing this weekend?
It's my family reunion this weekend, and so I will be going to Lake Brownwood, Texas tomorrow. First time I've been in 4 years, and this is a lot of extended family. I'm not quite sure how I'm related to them, but somehow we're related, and it's been going on, I think, for probably 100 years now, this family reunion, so I haven't seen people in a long time, and actually a lot of these people have never met my wife, because the year after we got married, we moved, and the first time we came back to Texas, so we'll be doing that, which could be both fun and, you know, my wife is pregnant, so it could be miserable because it's hot in Texas, so we'll see how that goes.
Well, I'm sure it'll be both fun and an act of tolerance in action. That's what
I'm sure it will be.
Yeah. Well, you have a good weekend. Thanks for coming.
Yeah.
And
Sean, thanks for not only being on the show, but thanks for supporting us, and thanks for your own monetary donation to BreakDrink and the cause. I really appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, we're working towards the same thing, and, you know, you've done a lot to support me. It's the least I can do, and I really mean that. So we'll see what else we can do here in the future to continue supporting you, because – a year from now, we're going to sit down, we're going to have another conversation about how we're doing, and we'll take calls from all the people that say, I always knew you would make it. And they're going to be the people who've been calling us crazy recently. That's okay.
Absolutely.
We're going to do it.
And that time, I think Jessica has to call in, since she's been just lurking this entire time.
Yeah. Well, Jessica's alert. Lurker. There's several other lurkers out there who tease us at times saying that they're listening and then don't call, but you know who you are, and someday we'll get you to call in, or I'll upgrade the account and I'll call you, and then you won't have any choice. So thanks again, Jeff. Have a great weekend.
Sean.
All right. You've been listening to the Higher Ed Career Coach Show on blogtalkradio.com. I'm Sean Cook, a life purpose and career coach from Athens, Georgia. I specialize in working with college students and their parents around transition issues to college and higher ed professionals in designing careers that will be challenging, that will be fun, and that will put their purpose to work. Today we've been talking about supporting innovation in higher education. Our guest has been Jeff Jackson from BreakDrink.com, and we've had a call-in guests today, Gary Ballinger and Ed Cabellon. Thank you both for the courage to call in, add your 2 cents to the conversation. Please continue to support innovation in higher education, both at your institution and out there on the Internet. And go out, make it a good weekend.
My name is Sean Cook. I'm a life and career coach specializing in work with college students and higher ed professionals. Before becoming a certified coach through the Life Purpose Institute, I earned my master's degree from Clemson University and spent 15 years working in student affairs and higher education. On the Higher Ed Life and Career Show, we explore college life issues and professional development concerns for persons working in higher education. Thank you for joining us.